Our topic is, I don't want to be Wonder Woman nor Superman. A quick review, I think, of this week's discussion can sort of put us all in the same frame. It might help to know how many were at Norma's men and women this week. And then at either kids, should be kids, or yesterday's. Okay, and how about Ted's? Okay, so we have some generalized thought processes. What we're going to do today is sort of act upon all this information that we've gathered together, all of us together, and do a little bit of exercise with ourselves to just sort of put us in a frame of reference for remembering likes and differences and the effects on children, the effects on us, effects on husband and wife kinds of combinations, I think. And in doing so, I might give a quick overview. For those that have not been around, I did have pink and blue socks on yesterday to illustrate the male-female, but I'm down to green. I'm also down to my last ones. And you also know that I try to combine this so I can be female and then I can be male too in my attire, so that we have a little bit of both here. And as we go along, I have a few other pieces of attire in which I would like to share my thoughts. I have found that sometimes the video gives a better illustration.
I'm in real trouble. I need my Scottish kilt.
Give his bear opener in the process of it. What we did the other day was try to place in our cultures the differences. That, in fact, in a lot of ways, males and females have been raised in two different cultures, even in the same household. And that they move out at five and begin training for their life work. For males, that might be a work option of a multitude of things. For the female in the past, it was to get one of those males to support them in the manner in which they all wanted to become accustomed. In my youth, as we move forward to your children, I would assume, by virtue of you being here, that you have some different ideas of how those two cultures ought to be. But your tapes and my tapes are the tapes of the past. And when in trouble, we go back to our old tapes. And those tapes clearly define this is what the head of the household does, and it is male. This is what the submissive woman does, and it is female. It is the female who is responsible for the spiritual lives of the children. And even the moral life of the husband, if he can possibly project that. And in the past, they've been very skillful at that. While the male then can have that double standard in the past as a generalization of kinds of happenings. The word sexism is a part of our new terminology and not our past, which talks about merely that one assumes superiority of the male in sexism as a general kind of definition. Racism, on the other hand,
assumes the superiority of a certain racial culture or group.
And so we have double indemnity for the white male and for the Indian and the black woman. We got double trouble in the society, in any of really the minority groups. And those are kind of the terms you keep hearing often within our society. You also hear the term feminist, which is a little frightful to some, but I am a feminist. That is, I believe that there ought to be equality in all things dealing with the heart, the head, the hands, and health. And that's all my feminist position says, is opportunity for equity in all things within the society. And those that deal primarily in race would want the same kind of equality, and the other word would be discrimination.
A thought that comes up to me as I was trying to think as you were saying that is there a comfortable word that's the paradox of feminist? Malinist?
Yeah.
And then there may be, you know, a whole new world now is starting to open up as males are now finally, by the gift of the feminist movement, able to not no longer be afraid of maleness and talking about maleness. And that's one of the reasons for this setting here. And it's not it's almost a foreign sound to my mouth to say maleness. Or what? There's not even a coined word.
We don't have a positive.
That's
word.
Another inequity.
We have a negative word.
A negative.
Chauvinist.
Chauvinist.
And we're able to use that very clearly. But we really don't have a male world.
That's right.
And a maleness concept, because as soon as we move it into a rite of passage or any other kind of past or Superman, as we talked about it this morning, a Superman concept is a negative concept back to the tapes. The new word opposite of that, as I see it, is Wonder Woman. And that what the feminists want is a Wonder Woman that can do all things equal to the male, as opposed to that we can do all things in combination. And the problem, as I see it, has been the culture that has separated us. My field is physical education, and those of you who are old enough know that we had separate departments, separate everything, and we had a large number of female leaders by virtue of that. And as Title IX arrives on the scene, I think it's a very positive kind of legislation, but with it, it puts a bind of who is going to be the power structure. And so to remind you that I do believe in Title IX, we have a red illustration here on Title IX, which is in jeopardy, and I'd be glad to talk about that. But it has a two-edged sword. And as soon as we get equality in sport, you get the male model of athletics and all of the tapes of competition. There were a large number of women in physical education who had this notion that we could have an educational model. What had been the female model of sport. The reality is we cannot, and that the power moves to the male. And I think it's an important concept because it ought not to be threatening to most of us as the home front is, but it's an illustration of what happens, and that by getting equality, what we get is everything that we have for years said we didn't want in relation to sport. And I think within the feminist movement, the same thing has happened in parts, is that we're now getting all the heart attacks that the males had rather than taking the heart attacks away from the males in our Wonder Woman concept. And so we had sort of talked about that through the week.
There's an image that comes to my mind that for men, this whole issue, first of all, affects me that I'm going to give up something. As you're talking here, it's women are becoming aware, and the dynamic of is energy moving out. It's much more positive. The first response from men generally is they're taking my territory, and it's a defensive kind of thing. I'm going to fall off a mountain and come down. While women are moving up, and the collision and conflict is potentially there if we don't get a chance to stand back and see that the oneness in the midst of that. I want to give up my heart attack, ballpark, and I don't want that to happen for me or my wife or my daughter. And yet the whole issue of competition, which we, those common things that we face, lies in our midst. And how are you assertive, aggressive, etc., within these contexts as the culture bears in on us? I need to train, see, I can't train my daughter. Yeah, I got to catch myself again. I need to help my daughter find out. For example, she's 15 now, how to assert herself. And one of the models she uses for that is dad, but also mom, and that kind of thing. And the dynamic I'm saying here is that we are facing in our time, you know, fear and hope. And men as a whole are afraid of losing something that they maybe haven't had for a long time or forever examined. The quality of maleness, which moves into femaleness, vice versa.
Now, I was going to ask if there are as many men who really want to be able to embrace all the female, you know, the female characteristics that, you know, so that the feminists have an equality and the males come and take some of the sereneness or the kinds of things that are basically female imposed.
love the in quotes part. Yeah. Do I find that? I guess we have to ask men that kind of thing.
Didn't we allude to this yesterday about the girls can be tomboys, but boys can't wear skirts? Wouldn't that be an answer to your question?
It's a good image.
Right.
But
they
that it's harder for a man to move into a woman's group than for a woman to move into a man's group.
I work with kindergarten kids and even Head Start or preschool kids often. It's part of my job in the public school system. And the dolls, I'm just using one example, of the centers that are set up. And until very, very recently, until the marvelous gifts of the feminist movement came into being, there was fear of allowing boys to play with dolls, you know, after about age 5. Okay? It's okay until you get to school, then we're going to start, you know, there goes the process. And now we're trying to give, it's okay. So Ted walks in with dolls in his arms, you know, and plays dolls with the kids in one form or another. And it's really crucial that we have that kind of thing going. One example of that dynamic. Try to balance it. But you have to really consciously plan it. And that means you got to care. That means you got to be aware that this is a very important issue. That's just sharing.
It's hard because the male has had the authority. And who wants to let go in their head if the tape is authority means success, success means power, power means money? And so until there is some kind of mutual understanding of some of the great part of the female culture, and as we talked about yesterday, and I guess Norma talked about yesterday morning, it's a mystic. It's a mystical kind of thing of what is going on in that woman's world and what is there that I really would like. And that's where the feminists are just now stopping to say, hey, wait a minute, here we are on this mountain going straight up to the heart attack mountain and here are the men here and they're willing to think about now. Almost all men are willing to think about coming down, but we may be in such a hurry to pass them up that we miss sort of where the merger can occur.
It's kind of interesting. I was at a conference. Part of it was talking about stress and some of the things that women are losing out on. And I want to get some comments. He said that traditionally, when women were at home, they had a lot of contemplative tasks to do. Mm-hmm. Dishwashing, vacuuming, folding clothes. That gave you a chance to contemplate, lower the stress level. For example, when I was working full-time, I'm a pastor's wife and I had a family. My husband said, well, let's have a housekeeper. We had a dishwasher, everything. I had no contemplative tasks to do. And, you know, I was always busy with other things. It's kind of interesting that, you know, men could pick up some of those tasks, they'd have some contemplative time.
All they could do was fish.
Oh, it was 20 years ago, I guess, that I started a laboratory school at Augustana College in Rock Island. And I set up housekeeping corners and, you know, all that sort of thing, and also carpentry. And chances are we would have more girls pounding and boys monkeying around in the kitchen. And one mother came to me, she says, every time I come here, my little boy is in the kitchen. She was curious about it. And I said, well, maybe that's what he likes to do, you know. Yeah. Yeah. You think that he might be a homosexual?
You are. Yes.
And I said, no, I think he just likes cooking and doing and playing with dolls and being in the housekeeping corner. And I'm so glad now, you know, in this enlightened age. At that time, I felt kind of alone. I hadn't read anything.
Here's a woman that's is laying late seeds long before.
Planted the seeds for the blossoming.
But it's amazing how many little boys would much rather be in the kitchen. Hmm? How many big boys would rather be in the kitchen.
I have three sons-in-law, and every one of them loves to bake bread and fix a meal, and it's just something that they enjoy doing.
And they're free to do this, maybe by your little prodding that I need this help is a freeing agent. Females have always fulfilled the role of the power behind the throne, and I don't see this as a whole negative thing. And so that you're planting the seeds all the time for him and for his buddies and for your children, that gives permission for the male to become much freer. It's really no question in my mind that the female has always been freer than the male until you get to the power stage, and if the finances mean you're a second-class citizen. Now, we've permitted ourselves by our culture and by our separate cultures, rather than being side-by-side in separate cultures, we've been at top and bottom in the cultures. And one of the things that we can do, even as we stay within some of the female organizations, and I'm very much for still doing that, and the male, but it's merely that they are side by side and that they deal with some of the more stressful issues. And there are different issues for the male who's trying to integrate and for the female who's trying to integrate. One of the areas we were talking about yesterday where there's going to be problems in the future as over 50% of the women's work, and there already is, and if we reelect Reagan, we'll have even more problem with it, is the volunteer organizations, which always have been under the control, the leadership, and the help of women. They are the ones who have dealt with slavery, they've dealt with the alcohol problem, they've dealt with voting rights, everything really, the temperance unions, all of those have been women. The reform movements as early as 1840 to 1860 were women. It's more women than men that signed for the rights of black to vote and gave up their own rights to be sure that the black male would have a right to vote after the Civil War.
There was
so it's scary what's going to happen.
Some of you have heard of Sojourner Truth, possibly. Maybe, and if you haven't, I want to introduce you to Sojourner Truth. There's a little book out here. It's too expensive, I'm afraid, but yeah, this might be worth looking, an anthology of ethnic American women. And when I say ethnic, it's not just black, Indian, and everything in here. There's Norwegian and all kinds of things in here. Even Norwegian. And Sojourner Truth, the famous event for her, this is back in the time that Joan's talking about, got up in front of a big, in a church, a colonial church in the New England, and she's, "Ain't I a woman?" Now, a beautiful black slave, just freed from the slave concept. And they were saying that because she was assertive and because she was big and because she was muscular and all these kind of things, there was some question that she was a woman. They thought she was a man. And she said, "Ain't I a woman?" And when she did, right in the pulpit, is open up her, "Ain't I a woman?" Okay, she and the white women suffrage people were like this. The racial connections were made, and they worked for the voting rights and all those kinds of things. They were friends and involved there.
And
very dramatic historical point.
Dealt with the Underground Railroad that ended up in
Harriet
Baltimore.
Tubman and all those.
And even the Catherine Beecher variety. Really the health people of that era were also women. And when you look now at your triple jobs that you have, you work at least part-time, most of you, you're still training your husbands, and you're trying to raise the children. And so the volunteer organizations are the ones that are suffering. We're having trouble in nursing homes. We're having trouble in hospitals. We're having trouble in some of the welfare programs that women have done. And so this is one of the places where it would be helpful if men would begin to move in. And the churches. Mm-hmm. The churches are really suffering ladies, what used to be the ladies' aid. Society. And there's a lot of discussion with the Lutheran Church Women of America on what to do about those kinds of happenings. And it was really their freedom to contemplate, or what we, or men, call gossiping, was really the sharing of difficulties. That really women didn't need a feminist group for sharing difficulties. They have, in fact, done that. I think the only freedom that was occurred perhaps by Fredon's The Feminine Mystic, was that you realized everybody else was feeling this and you could talk about it, and the freedom to talk about it.
We need to move now beyond that, which that's allowed us to have, is the, right, is the move into a commonality where we maybe share tasks together. One of the things I see happening for us is that we have common tasks to do together. Parenting. Who does the parenting? I'll talk from my own personal experience. I live on my 10 to 12 year old tapes, so to speak, when it comes time to do the dishes. You know, I still tend naturally to leave the kitchen area and let the women take care of it. And now I'm trying to retape myself into with both parents working oftentimes, to restructuring my intentionality to say, I'm a part of this too. I have to really work on it. I have to use some energy for me to think that the domestic kind of thing is there. And that's a result of the past. That's the result of the past. And I have to almost kind of propagandize my mind. And I have, my wife helps me, which is marvelous. You know, it makes me irritated a lot of times. But and I have to remind her also on some of the things that are assertive for her. And that allow her to go to professional meetings. Yeah, whatever it might be, that she has just as much need for that as I do. But that means a whole new negotiating process. And it has to take some intentionality into it.
Can you not allow her to?
Can I not allow her to?
By virtue of the term allow.
Yeah. Allow. See, yeah, even the word, look who's in control. Thank you for that. See? The slavery of our language, which is, and I'm struggling with it, to read.
The language.
But that communicates what's going on in the heart and the image.
And it's worse if the woman is not working. Then it's sort of like it's your job to stay home with the children. No, this is your job because I'm bringing home the money.
Mm-hmm. And the whole, it's a new tape that hasn't gone on before in terms of the homemaker. One of the women yesterday was talking about if there's a second class citizen, then she's a third class citizen. Because the feminist group has said, if you're striving for exactness to males, then you're moving towards first-class citizenry. If you're staying at home, taking care of the children, taking care of all of the tasks, then you're another class, that there's something wrong with you, said the early 60 tapes, because you're at home. It is only the last 3 years that there's a new tape, and even Betty Friedan's new book on the second, I don't know if it's the second chance, but she talks about the new exciting things that women are doing at home with their children, with their neighborhood children, and sort of taking another role in relation to mothering their own children and almost everybody else's too. And it still makes a double task that certainly males haven't thought of. Somehow, if you're not working, then you're not in that same category of needing to parent or to share. It's as though the only reason it's being done is because you work too, as opposed to that it's being done to free everybody for those tasks and for the leisure time or whatever that, that we want to have.
Well, I appreciated your last comments. I guess maybe it is my age, or that I grew up feeling like I had choices, or maybe it's the spouse I have or something, but I guess a lot of what you're saying to me is almost old news.
Right.
And so I appreciate some of these comments where you are saying, what is happening now or looking to the future, because I almost feel like this again.
Right.
In that, for me, I guess because I didn't see as much of a struggle, because I'm already arrived when some of the struggle had happened. And so I would appreciate, you sharing some kind of things now or future things in that I feel like, I'm already have arrived maybe, or maybe some of the people here haven't, but I don't feel like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the number one is going to be childcare. What will we do about childcare? Will we deal with it through the churches? Will we deal with it through public? Because women will not be free unless there is some decision made of both parenting and that the corporate world will begin with, I'm going to take a month's leave for my child, and then when I'm not feeding the child, if I am breastfeeding them, my husband is going to take a month's maternity leave. So the whole maternity leave question, I think, is central to the present, where husbands and wives have agreed.
Aren't there some European countries almost that have
Sweden.
Started?
Yeah. Sweden not only has started it, but has an excellent child care kind of program, and the studies are showing the kids are turning out great. Because when your time is devoted to them, it's devoted to them. And the care is good, and the group process is so good. Certainly, what they're doing is all the way trying to test from, what, 0 to 2, and then 3 to 5 kinds. Corporations in our own country, there's been some national meetings by Dean Witter, for example. Sears Roebuck is doing something. Although Sears Roebuck is finding that 50% of their employees are second job people. And so they don't have quite that same need. But there has to be recognition of the children. The second, as I see it, is the whole volunteer organization. And when you look at our society, the whole thing has been run on women volunteers. And unless we can get men whose flex time, such as my own and all the men that teach with me, have plenty of time to do Meals on Wheels. And they looked at me like I was out of my tree. On, well, you know, you're in the men's working world. What are you doing running over on lunch 2 days a week and doing Meal on Wheels? And yet it's something that they could do very well. And it's all older women. They love having a man deliver. And so I think that's
I think our Sunday school is somewhat in crisis because almost all of our Sunday school teachers for years have been women. And now that there are so many women in the workforce, who aren't willing to give up some Sunday morning time. No, we really have to beat the bushes to find anyone willing to.
And most of the time it's women who finally give in. Is that true?
Yeah.
You know, or so I guess a big issue
on people who are excited, people who do it because they feel an obligation.
The whole issue of the dividing of time. What we're really facing is that both men and women now need to the struggle with the structuring of our time, which creates the real challenge for, as I see what we're saying, is negotiating and, you know, dialoguing so that both men and women, husband, wife, whatever the role, work out time schedules in a whole different context than it used to be. Now we have choices, because both have choices now. So those are more aware. And the third rating is where we get that leisure contemplative time, solitude time for one another. That is, assume that my old motto was, my dad came home from work, he sat down in the chair and he fell asleep. You know, he still does it at the dinner table, but that's a whole different ballpark. You know, and that's the image I grew up with. Again, I'm a little older than in your context in that sense. And yet, okay, where is the time not only for the woman in the home, but now both are coming home from work and we both are tired. And we both, where's our space? So the issue is, where are the common issues that we have to negotiate together on behalf of meeting one another's needs and the needs of our families?
I think that my husband was very helpful. He did as much as any man could possibly do in his position, but I found out that there just was not enough time to do everything, and I ended up not doing anything good. And so I ended up resigning. I had decided to be an at-home person for another year. Then I'll look again.
And that's where we haven't given you that freedom for some in-between years.
Well, like you were saying before, the whole going up the mountain, I think that's it. I think that's where, you know, both feminists and you know, males need to move also is, you know, I think that the feminine movement has sort of propelled a lot of women into trying to be just as busy or just as productive as men have always been told that they needed to be. And women are there too, and then, you know, now everybody is so busy that nobody is sort of feeling like, where are our real life's goals and our real life's priorities? Because society is saying, you need to earn money, you need to do this, you need to have, you know, this kind of status career to be it, you know, to really achieve, to be an achiever. And I think, you know, that's where we need to move now. Both men and women need to say, well, hey, you know, what are we truly achieving? Other than stress and heart attacks. And
it's tough, because we thought we could do it in athletics. that we could take the best of the play lines of the girls and the best of the competitive athletics of men and put them together and have some goals, but not so defined goals, and that interpersonal relations would be more important. The fact was that the power structure led us into staying with the men's world instead of being strong enough to change it. And that's where the trouble is, I think.
That's the frightening thing in the whole situation, is the entire movement is going in that direction. And we're not going to have any space to be ourselves. To me, it seems to be like the whole American society based on money. You know, and we all, the size of our paycheck, if mine isn't as big or bigger than my wife's, then I'm not as good as her. And if hers isn't as big or as good as mine, then she's not as big a person as me. And, you know, I wonder why we all have to be out there making money. What's the sense of it?
Yeah, when I quit, our income was cut in half.
And you're still surviving.
Yeah. What you're saying to me is that the revaluing of our lives is really at the crux of the whole matter, and we both have a vested interest in that. The feminist movement has allowed for those, there's been some those questions being raised, and now we as men, I as a man, have to deal with that my wife or whoever also has those same kinds of struggles going on, and we have a common struggle together and a common opportunity together to relook at those whole priorities. That's why Holden is just really a place apart to really, my goodness, give us the church. One of the biggest roles for the church, it seems to me, coming up, is to give a sanction for both to do the exploring. That's the use of volunteer time for me right now. I'm not too happy to cut the church lawn anymore. In a sense, that probably has to be my job, because my wife maybe wants to go to a thing that the church is putting on for development of her career in relationship to the spiritual life. Now I want to be in on that too. And so we're finding that we really have common needs. That's one of the exciting things about the movement, the so-called movement. We're finding some great commonalities more than not the differences. But to change my way of doing it, is that it's a conscious commitment that I need to make. And it's a value thing, a big one.
We had to wait until retirement to experience this feeling of doing the same things together and having similar goals. And Bruce gets into the Meals on Wheels deal and other senior citizen things that he volunteers for. But it's sort of a nice way to do it. But we didn't get there soon enough.
Right, yeah. I wait to retirement. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about the modeling, for the children. That if everybody's not doing the volunteer work, then the kids will not grow up with a sense of it. I'm a campfire leader, and through campfire, part of the thing of the Wovilo is having 150 hours of service time to the community. A lot of it's candy striping or nursing homes or that. And I think, if you don't get the leaders to work with the kids to direct them that way, where's that going to go? Like, I did Meals on Wheels with my kids for about 6 years until they gave it to a state agency where they started paying people for the gas so the older people could earn gas money. So I thought it's not fair for me to take the opportunity for them, to get gas money and do volunteer work too. But the elderly people like the children to bring the meals. I mean, they really had rapport, and one of them even had candy for my kids every time I came, with them. And, that's why I have to almost justify being at home. I have to tell people all the things I do to feel like I'm a worthwhile human being sometimes. And I enjoy doing the work that I do, except I'm doing it on my terms. I don't have to punch a clock. And I enjoy it, and I have the freedom to choose what I want to do and what I want to be involved with.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things, just the last 4 or 5 years, that freedom,
One of the problems is there are so few people like that now, though, that they get overloaded, and a Sunday school superintendent will call a woman up and say, would you like to teach? And she says, well, I just don't have time now. Well, what do you mean? You're not doing anything. You don't have a job. And it's unrealistic to load these people
burning them out.
And again, you know, it comes down with money. First we start paying our organist, then we start paying our choir director. Yeah. Well, maybe we should pay our Sunday school superintendent, somebody said just recently, because it's such a big job. You know, and yeah, and the treasurer and the financial secretary. As the dollar bill is going to solve all our problems. And I see us just adding things onto our lives. The men need to start spending more time at home, you know, just as much time at work, but more time at home. And the women need to be spending some time in the office or at a profession, you know, and still be at home. And we're just adding instead of trying to find a balance.
I really like that issue, the struggle with adding, you know, and assumes that what is there is for everybody now, you know, and we're not... the whole structure needs to be changed around.
But maybe we wouldn't have come to this point unless, you know, the women had kind of moved over to the men's side so that almost everybody was in the same sinking boat, and we thought, what are we doing?
Got to have a common sink.
Yeah, that's it. No, because, no, I think it took almost that to have evolved this far.
Which means some pretty powerful implications for what we do in our congregations. The time we spend, and this is one example, the time we give or have in our congregations is very crucial for meeting what we want to have accomplished. Maybe we're going to need to struggle with the funeralizing of some of the things that have been going on for a long time, built upon those old images, and not necessarily replace, but reshift our process. I want one image. The family becomes the social action teacher, you know. That part of parenting is to do the Meals on Wheels. We don't, sometimes maybe we won't need to have, maybe the institution shouldn't be the only ones doing it. We do it, you know, in a whole another context, which means for a long time that both are doing it too, which creates some tension at times. That's one thought.
Maybe this is just, you know, this is kind of just a little silly thing on the side, but I think something we were able to do in our parish is we have soup and bread suppers before our Lenten services, and there's usually just, you know, like 50 to 75 people at most. But on all of our youth trips, we sort of had everybody washes their own dishes. And we kind of did that now after our Lenten suppers so that everybody is, you know, doing their own dishes. And sometimes when that happens, it works out really great, and I have to sit back and think, isn't this nice? It's not the same group of women who are in there for an hour and a half. You know, everybody gets in there and goes fast and does it. And I think even, you know, you were talking about contemplative time. It's funny the conversations, you know, the different men and women will get into while we're standing in line waiting to do our dishes that I think the men were not allowed to do. I mean, they had to go in the other room and talk this and
smoke their cigars and discuss the state of the world.
The other thing is how, you know, a lot of us, or some of us, I think, have the idea, you know, that we're all really getting into, you know, the new value system. But, you know, when we came out of being students, where, you know, it was seemed more contemporary, and got all of a sudden into a parish, you know, in every event we went to, the men were in this room, and the women were in this room.
I'm
you
not
know?
Very comfortable. And I didn't have any baby pictures to show anybody.
You know, and we may not be as far along, you know, at a grassroots level as a lot of times we think we are.
The church suppers that are still prepared by the women, or the counter, the church suppers are only prepared by the men.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've lost is what we're really needing to get, and that is both of them working together. So two suppers with a mix here and a mix here is better, it seems to me, than the men fixing it and the women fixing it. In the first place, the expressiveness and inner personal relations that females have been forced to have, and we call it stereotyping or natural, and it's not natural, but they have in fact become very effective and efficient at working together and not having a boss. And men have had a military system of instrumentalism and tasks and ladders, and so their working in the kitchen with the female often has been a difficult, but that seems to me a fundamental happening that has to occur, is what we used to call instrumentalism or task-centered boss man, and down the ladder and up the ladder of the males, combined with the expressiveness or the worrying about the interpersonal relations and always getting the stuff done.
Yeah.
And that must be from being at home. You can't ultimately not put the kid to bed if they're 9 months. I mean, you have to figure out some way of doing that task, and you figure how to do that while the ironing board is still up and while the supper is cooking. And so there's some things that have become natural, not innate, but natural for the female, that now is the time that it really can be combined, and then the kids see both of this.
Having husband and wife in the nursery.
Yeah.
And the team.
Some of the tapes of Singles, by the way, is the same thing on church relationships, in which this is my role and that's your role. I would have any day cut the grass at church if it was a sunny day, so I could get some exercise, rather than Sunday morning in the nursery. I don't want Sunday morning in the nursery.
Yeah.
Although some of my nicest times at church, it sounds silly, has been like to serve for a wedding gathering in the esprit de corps among the 5 or 6 women. And the fun that we had with a little joke, it was more fun than being dressed than sitting out, standing out there and making polite conversation, eating the cake. We had a really nice time, and there's still a esprit de corps. You build relationships that way, and I really feel often that the relationships between those people, whatever the task is the fun of it. And I do feel that there's been a promotion of choose what you want to do, and if it's your talent, well, then do it. But I can tell you, a lot of jobs aren't going to be done in church, and that people will do these jobs if there's a esprit de corps, a good relationship, and also if they're valued for doing it, if they can get some credit, some worth, some validation for their contribution for the whole picture. Too often the little jobs are negated and aren't worth anything, but as I quoted before someplace, someone said in a closing sermon, in heaven there are no small or large tasks.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, I just did some work with an insurance man before I came up here. I got excited for one thing that's happened. I think it's a result of finally men are having to share some of these experiences. They're finally saying, hey, you know what I'm doing, if I'm doing dishes now, is worth something. We haven't been willing to allow that to be seen in any monetary sense. This insurance man for life insurance pulled out a new card. It had the domestic wife's value in money terms. All right, I disagree with him because it was half of what it really basically should have been. It was $14,000 a year, and he listed all these skills that a housewife in quotes does. You know, from organizing da 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 da. I said $14,000. You know, that's not so hot. You know, that's low. I think it should be 30,000 at least. That's the starting process. Well, at least here was a New York Life. It was the name of this company. Had it in a natural flow of the chart because the insurance man asked me, how much insurance do you think your wife should have? What if she goes, Ted, and you have to take care of all of these little details, you know, and be in charge of all those things? What's it worth to you in bucks? And boy, did I have to do some thinking on that. At least that's a sign of hope, I think, that kind of thing's starting to happen. I got demanded.
And he's right on 14,000 because women are only worth 59 cents on the dollar.
Oh, I know. So I know. Which is
so
still,
it's right into the category.
It fits into the category, but
yeah.
It didn't even used to be there at all.
Yeah.
But now it is. So it's only half there, kind of thing.
I think probably one of the final things, though, we need to think about once we get started is never underestimate the power of a woman. But that power is on a one-to-one basis, that in the larger church body, in the larger educational scene, in all of the scenes of the world, the fact is that the power structure, and therefore all the things that we want to change, still remains in your court. You want to comment on that? And
it is. Yeah, it remains there, but it's devastating when it remains there. For me as a man, it's devastating to me and my humanness to remain there. I think, until we as human beings who are men start seeing that our growth is involved with seeing commonalities as well as what we have uniquely to share, I don't think that'll help us. It's so devastating to us. Our heart attacks are just too high. Our futures are depressing if we get that way.
I think our whole gam's up here. The great American male stereotype tapes are still going in the power area, if in none of the other areas, and that the great American female stereotype tapes are still going, and that's one of the things that, as we're looking at the future, we need to work on sort of some of the stereotypes that are left in a lot of us need to be put to work immediately, so that our differences are still different enough to be able to make change. To be change agents, I think you have to have diversity and pluralism, and that's what we have right now. So I see it as a very positive thing that there are still some of these differences, and that later they ought to be shared among all of society, both the good and the bad, and that too will have then a broader perspective. But right now, if we're going to change things, I think it's the realization of our separate kinds of qualities that we've had that we can sort of throw together. Yours.
I want to just try out a couple of things, just fun of it, and see how much the residue's there. You know, it's there. I mean, your image. And I'm really talking, there's four human beings who are males here. I'm working at that one. I started with the human, and then I said, who is all kinds of things, all the diversity of that. It's okay for a boy to cry. Yes or no. Up or up, down, okay?
Or you can do it too.
Or I'm not counting.
Are you saying the way we feel?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
Let's have the way you feel and the way probably society has, so we can tell.
See a contrast, if there is one.
And you can do these down here, because I have some tapes left too.
Okay. It's important to be that a man act like a real man and a woman act like a real woman, whatever that means. Alright. I get mad when people tell me that how I act isn't right for my sex. I would think that's a whole different issue than the sex. That's what you're told what to do, bro. Alright. It's okay for a girl to play on a male team if she's a good athlete. I have a tape in that one. Yet I'm not want it to be, but emotionally real, it's not comfortable yet with that.
Head coaches. Division I school coaches. Actually, it's one of the serious problems in leadership roles for females in sport, that the role model is going to disappear and you're going to have only a male role model in the sports world. And it's an important world from that the games mother never taught me concept. And over 50% of Division I schools, the top colleges, are now employing men basketball coaches. On the high school level, they're still employing the failing male basketball coach and the successful female. So if they don't make it in boys basketball, either, primarily, of course, on the win-loss syndrome, so they probably or could be great guys, but they are nevertheless letting them then go into the women.
Here's one. A woman can do most everything on the job that a man can do. I got strong that one.
So comment on these.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, anybody willing to comment?
I mean, physically, there's some jobs that women can't do. Yeah. I can lift a bunch of heavy things.
Some men can't do.
Some can.
I mean, yeah. Other responses.
I worked in a grocery store for 14 years, and of course, usually the girls were the checkers. But then you had to do some things that encountered doing some lifting, and once in a while, women couldn't lift, and we'd say to this man, well, would you help me? And the response, well, you're getting the same kind of money that I'm getting. You lift it yourself. But then if we needed help with the checkout stand, why would they sputter if they have to come and take over our role? So there's still, you know, I think and Jerry, somebody had said too, the worst thing that ever happened in our paper mills is when they started employing women. We have more trouble with women because they don't want to work any overtime.
Interesting. The stereotypes that are operating, aren't they?
Of course, some of them, it seems like some women are out just to prove that they can do it, and it's not necessarily what they would choose to do, but rather because it's a challenge. Mm. And those are oftentimes, I think, the ones that then create a negative feeling among the employers, because that's not what they would do if they had a choice, but it's kind of a challenge to make a little break in what's been going on. Because if a person is really interested in it, I think they normally are very accepted and do ask for the job. And the ingenuity is usually there that can get them past some of the hurdles or obstacles which they might otherwise have.
There's no question if it's heavy, heavy work in which there is rational justification, then neither a male or a female who is not that strong ought to have that job. And if she takes the test, and it's all right with me to test it, if you need 150 pounds lifted, then you take a test for 150 pounds. But if you only need 40 pounds lifted, then you take a test for 40 pounds. And they're having a lot of trouble. Our institution is doing some studies on the West Point Air Force Academy and the kinds of tests that they give for trying to decide what is needed. Does a woman have to be able to do, does a man have to be able to do 20 full push-ups in order to be an officer on a ship? Does this have to happen? And so they have to look at the jobs. And what you take them out of is the troop ship in which you're carrying 80 pounds on your back. But the officers aren't carrying 80 pounds on their back. And so they're doing some studies. Firefighters is another area in which they're doing studies. Policemen. Policeman is a very serious thing because of our stereotype of that a woman is inferior. So even if she's strong, she's more likely to be challenged. More women have been injured in Washington, D.C., police women that are on the streets than have males of the same size and weight. And so there still are some tapes in which I think women simply can't do that until there is one really strong enough, that much stronger than the normal male. Until...
Let's not say normal male, let's say normal
average. Average in terms of it. But there are some jobs that simply female is not strong enough for, just as finger dexterity by practice has been superior for females. And to put a male with large hands on a small is difficult.
What are we sort of saying here then?
What have we been saying? What ought to be our final take?
I don't know if this is what we were saying, but this is something that I found to be a struggle. It's a whole philosophy of change that I have personally struggled with. Women have to work so much harder to gain credibility in the male system, so then once they have entered that system, then they think they can change it. Well, then they bought into the system. So they're not willing to change it in the same way as if they hadn't ever penetrated it in the first place, so I'm interested in what you said about the volunteerism reform movements, which have been women from outside of the system. How can that be kept alive at the same time, tapping the resources of the women who have gotten into the system because of the challenge, because they've had to be challenged, maybe not because that's where they want it to be, but that's part of the goal to make whatever changes. And then how do you go about making that change?
Male
does the change, becomes change.
He has to be the primary change agent once you are into the system for a while. And if the males in that group do not want to change, it simply, I believe, from having tried it now in the athletic world, that you can't do it.
In the racial relationship situation, I think it's whites who have the greatest responsibility to change the interracial issues. There's a book over there that says whites for whites only. Okay, we, the ones in power, have the responsibility to change, and that's where I think the church has to confront. You know, it's not either or, but it's more for one than the other. I think that's the point.
Well, I think in a lot of your other cultures, men are really macho. Like the daughter. She married a Mexican man, and of course, before she married him, she brought this macho. Well, Mom, you couldn't understand. cultures, they think there's really a
whole different
ballpark.
Man, where she saw, and I think
our family, dad was the dishes,
right.
I believe our society has gone the farthest of any other society, even the Scandinavian ones that we're supposed to.
Yeah.
But I think on a
we need
note
men,
of
men's groups.
And that it has to be the men and women. The women are doing the forceful work, but ultimately the men and women have to work together.
Our congregation need to have men awareness groups like crazy.